Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this Thursday morning, February 22nd, 2018. America is weeping today for the loss of the great evangelist, Billy Graham, who has died yesterday at the age of 99. It's been all over the news. Tributes have gone forth. And a tremendous amount of conversation concerning older prophetic words concerning the departure of Billy Graham, what it would actually usher in. I've heard from both sides back in the 1980s that great judgment would fall when Billy Graham would pass away, the beginning of great judgment. And I've heard the other side where one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit would also begin to accelerate the purpose of God in the earth. I happen to believe that both are true. We're living in the day where it is glorious light and gross darkness. Everything is coming to its mature condition. And sadly, it is true that darkness is not going to get lighter yet until this moment passes altogether and a new millennial day begins. And I'm talking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, not until that day comes, not until Jesus Christ is exalted on his throne over all the nations of the earth, which he is in the spirit, but until his righteous rule is released from the throne and his kingdom come upon this earth, we will continue to witness the sad events going on in the world today. Darkness is going to get darker. Light is going to get lighter. What side of the day are you on? What side of the day am I on? I want to read a prophetic word given by a gentleman by the name of Douglas. And I'll go ahead and I think it's his name is Doug McCallum. So this is from Doug McCallum, and he wrote this word and sent it out. I have warned my people repeatedly. Some are listening and paying attention, and many, which causes great sorrow to me, are not listening and not preparing for what is ahead in your country. He is referring to the USA. The events that have been written about in my word will indeed come upon this place very suddenly and repeatedly. It will be very easy for those not prepared to lose all hope, and great fear will overtake them with nothing in them to hold it back. My perfect love destroys all fear. But if my people are not rooted and grounded in my love and have not cultivated a bridegroom relationship with me, they will find themselves defenseless from the devil's onslaught that he is about to unleash. This is his master plan to usher in his leader who has been foretold in my word for millennia. Through fear, Satan will be able to bring his leader's acceptance in this country and worldwide. His false prophet will also have the avenue to bring his damnable religion, the great mystery of iniquity. Because many who have said they are committed to me will, from great fear, fall into the devil's snare of deception, and they will fall away. Because the love of my truth, my logos of eternity, is not found in them, they will be snared and fall. Then will these fallen ones cast their allegiance to Satan and be damned forever. A quick interjection before I go any further. We live at what a timely word from Douglas. Fear is running rampant everywhere right now, whether we want to admit it or not, beneath the skin of everybody. Everybody's thinking the same thing. We watched the children yesterday with the president and vice president and the secretary of state in Washington, D.C., discussing their concerns. Fear is running rampant. People are afraid, and that fear is growing. Do I go to school today? Is it safe to go to the mall today? And yet we have been saying for a very long time on this broadcast, as others have throughout the earth, that we must prepare for the days that we're living in, to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And we must be working on love, getting love deep in our hearts, but being wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But I know you know that there is a tremendous amount of fear. People no longer feel safe. I had an experience, which was a blessing from the Lord, to feel what other people were feeling. And I'll tell you what, it's an ugly feeling when you don't feel safe. And everything was safe. I mean, there was no problem whatsoever. However, the experience of all that we're hearing right now. So we're going to have to respond properly. And the wrong response to this moment, in all sincerity, is fear. And the only way that fear will be dealt with in the Spirit of God is by perfect love. You can't just bolster yourself up and pretend everything's okay, because it's right beneath the layer of our skin. It's right within a thought within our mind that this concern, this worry, this fear does exist. And so perfect love for God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, perfect love for our neighbor, perfect love for the body of Christ, perfect love. And what is that perfect love? It just means love that has matured, love that has come forth, and love that guides us. That is not sloppy agape. We're not talking about sloppy agape or greasy grace. We're talking about loving our enemies in spite of, and it's a condition that you and I never receive an offense or never allow the ugliness and the badness that is going on to take root in our hearts, because our love for God and our love for the human race is genuine, okay? So Doug continues on in his word, and he says this: "Did I not say these times would be as the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah? The foolish virgins without oil for their lamps will not be accepted to my great wedding feast. Because my spirit has been allowed to dissipate and run out, they will be swallowed up with the unsaved of this world and taken into the great darkness coming rapidly on this earth. This country, the USA, has been given much because of your forefathers' reliance on me and because of my remnant that still exists there. But to whom much is given, much is required. Israel in the past, so it is with this country and any other country that rejects me. Woe to those who have known my ways and have received of my blessings in so many different ways and then turn their hearts from me. I am a jealous God. I have not changed. My word is not changed. You only think I am quiet and unconcerned because you do not see me doing anything as in the past. Well, those who have ears to hear and eyes to see and who have spent time with me in my word and spirit know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am that I am. Their hearts, as an expectant bride, flutters in anticipation of our eternal union. My bride fully knows that I am fully engaged, not only to her, but also in everything taking place in heaven and earth. She knows my word is more relevant today than in any other time. My existence is not linear as those that are in the flesh, but eternal as my spirit is. Therefore, my word is the Alpha and the Omega. It takes in the beginning and the end. And again, a quick interjection about something that was just said. I woke up this morning and Patricia and I were praying. We have a list that we pray over most every morning. And we were praying over the list. And one of the things that struck me is how that God is able to minister to each life on that list. And in our list, I mean, what is that in comparison to 7 billion list in comparison to 7 billion people? It's a drop in the bucket, honestly. But to us, it's everybody we know and we pray for, and we lay hands on that list, and we cover them with all prayers, however the Holy Spirit leads. And it just dawned on me, we know this knowledgeably, but it dawned on me that God is able to minister to each individual on that list from the beginning of their existence to the end of eternity. And there is no end in eternity, right? But to the eons of eternity. And is that not unique about God, that he can pay attention to each person as though they are the only person on the earth that he's tending to? Sometimes we think that God's so busy, right, that, well, I got to leave you guys alone and I got to run over here to the other side of the earth and take care of these people, and then I'll be right back, but I'll give some angels to take care of you. No, the Bible says that God is omnipresent. It means that he is everywhere at the same time, and he has this ability as God to devote himself to every individual constantly. I mean, that is amazing when you stop and think about it. And so not only is he dedicated to every person on this earth, particularly those that have accepted his son and his message and have been brought into a covenant relationship with him, but God is aware of what's going on in the spirit world where Satan and the demons are. God is well aware of all that activity. He's also well aware of everything that's going on this earth. If Elijah, was it Elijah or Elisha, that kept hearing the Syrian king plotting and planning to destroy Israel, even though he was not near him, his spirit was astral projected, if you will, into the room of those counselors. And then the prophet would keep going back to the king of Israel and telling him the plans of the Syrians. And it's because he was able to know what the enemy was doing. So if that's just from one man, imagine God. God knows what everybody's doing. Did God know that 17 people were going to be shot and killed in Florida the other day? You bet he did. And a lot of people are saying, well, where was God? They're putting God on trial, right? Well, God was doing whatever God is doing, and I'm not going to be the one to question him. But I know he was well aware, he knew, and he's allowing, because he has forewarned this nation of the times that would come. How many times have I read out of Leviticus chapter 26 that one of the first judgment that comes upon the nation of Israel in Leviticus 26 and any other nation, because God deals with nations the same way, how many times did we read that I will appoint over you terror? When a nation, and that's why this prophetic word is so accurate, when Douglas was speaking by the Spirit and said that woe to the nation that has accepted the blessings. Woe to the people that have known the ways of God and received the benefits of God and then turn away from him. There is a great woe on that, whether it's an individual or a nation. So God is aware of what the devil is doing. God is aware of all these negative things that are happening. He knows what's going on in Brussels right now. He understands. And if you don't know, Brussels has an active shooter, and it's a police shutdown in a whole block of a city. So there's activity. And again, we're not surprised. How many times have we said, don't be surprised when these things happen? We're not surprised. They are happening. God is aware. He's allowing this to happen. God's not doing it. God didn't show up to that school in Florida and pull the trigger. He knows what's happening. And he is allowing this to happen to a people that have rejected him. And you say, well, how mean is God? Well, You want to judge God. I don't want to judge God. I'm not going to question God. All I know is that when Israel acted up, he sent for the Assyrians. When Israel acted up, he sent for the Babylonians. I don't want to mess with God. And nations and individuals should not mess with God. He's a God of love. And yet God will allow a nation to destroy itself if it chooses to turn away from him. And America is being destroyed. We have allowed, and again, I have to say this over the airwaves, we have allowed through Hollywood the abyss. I think Washington, D.C. is the swamp, but Hollywood is the abyss of darkness that has spewed out every form of violence on this earth. The shedding of innocent blood, murder, rape, all the heroes are carrying weapons and killing people. We have seen more death, more murder, more violence, more sexuality on the television screen. And then we inundate our societies with pornography through the internet, which criminal science has connected to murderers and rapists are all connected to pornography. So our society is being saturated with all of this ill. And then we get surprised why somebody does something wrong. Well, Hollywood has impressioned the minds of the masses, and we call that freedom of speech. Now, everybody wants to legislate the guns, which is a Second Amendment right, but nobody wants to legislate our freedom of speech, even though they can use the F word and they could put triple X out there and they could blaspheme the worthy name of God. They could mock the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, what Hollywood has done should be the real legislation. Somebody ought to go into Hollywood and bring a firm reproof and rebuke all those Hollywood stars and as they're being used by the devil to bring corruption into society. And so, yes, we're all mixed up. We think guns are the problem. Guns have been a part of our society since the beginning of America. We've never had these problems with guns, but there was a time in our society where pornography was illegal, homosexuality was illegal. All of these things were once illegal. I kind of feel like I'm repeating a sermon from yesterday on Kerm Radio, but it is a fact. These things did not exist, and therefore people had guns, had a more moral condition, and nobody used them to do evil. But now we live in a totally immoral, a totally corrupt, a totally putrid, decrepit society that the muck and mire of evil has been spewed out of Hollywood, and then we just expect everybody to behave. Well, scientifically, it's not right. Factually, it's not. You can't expect that. Your kids are growing up on the television. They're going to act up. I don't care what anybody says. It's true. So God continues on in his word. The devil, said Douglas in this writing, he said, the devil, through his deception and lies, has convinced many that I am dead and my word is myth. Satan really knows what my word says, even better than many of my people. That is why he works so hard in convincing humanity throughout the ages that my word is fiction. His desire is to drag down as many souls as he can into the lake of fire, his final domain. And again, speaking about the lake of fire, how many people that are being killed are going to hell? How many people that are killed are going into death? How many people that are dying are going into paradise and being with the Lord? Well, I know that out of the Columbine shooting, the first one in Colorado, when the killers went in and killed people, there was one young girl named Rachel that wrote a book out of her Christian experience. And, you know, what a beautiful soul. You know where she is. I mean, she was praying for her classmates on that day. She was praying, and there's a documentary on her. The other people that were fornicating and living without God and rejecting, well, where are they? Well, the Bible says they're either in heaven or they're in hell. They're in paradise or in death until the day of judgment when the lake of fire will come into view, which is the final judgment, the eternal judgment. So where are all these people going? Satan is bringing many people into death, isn't he? And they're not ready for it because everybody has the idea that we're just going to live forever. Tomorrow's never going to come. I'm never going to breathe my last breath. You know, so I'm going to become casual. I'm going to start to beat the maidservants and the men servants. I'm going to start to eat and to drink and to get drunken and do all kinds of bad things. That's what Jesus said many would do in the last days, as well as the love of many wax cold and fear, anxiety, offense would take over. So this is serious business. Satan will be releasing every demon, back to the prophetic word. He will be releasing every demon, fallen angel, deception, and lie in this final hour to accomplish this task. He knows this will hurt my heart. That is his ultimate plan. But being deceived himself, he does not realize that my love covers a multitude of sins. My love, my righteousness, and justice demand all sin to be done away with. My son Jesus, my great logos and plan, took all of humanity's sin upon himself and destroyed it. We are one in my love. My love for him overshadows all those lost in their sins. My heart is that none be lost, but I have also given every human soul that has ever existed a free will. I have always wanted, as I do in this present time, for each human soul to fully choose me and love me. I have and continue to influence humanity to make the right decision concerning me. The great display of this was the birth, life, death, and resurrection of my Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life. You know, yesterday, while I was watching the conversation with the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, and all of these people, everybody was looking for solutions. The president kept saying, what is the solution? What do we do? How do we fix the problem? And, you know, it's so obvious, but nobody wants to say it. It's the pink elephant in the room, if you will. It's right there. It's so obvious. Repent. What you have to do to fix America is repent. If you want these things to be subdued, if you want the power of God, if you want angelic invasion and visitation to disarm the powers of darkness, you repent. But our nation is fueling the demonic by the evil and the iniquity and the sin that is being promoted and practiced within our society. Would you agree? Would you agree? The only answer is Jesus. There is no other answer. It is not legislating guns because, again, a murderer will find a way to murder. There is no stopping it. But if you want to get a handle on the murderer, bring repentance and then bind and rebuke those demonic spirits. But when you have a society that is turning against God, promoting evil, you could pray all you want. It's going to happen. And this has been the problem. We're being a little bit hokey pokey, quite frankly, about things. And I wonder where all those great prophets and people that all, it's all good, everything is well. Well, where are they today? Where are they all saying, don't worry about anything, you know, live your best life now? Well, those 17 kids aren't living their best life now. And I mean, I know the message of comfort and love, but that's not the times that we're in. We're in a time where it needs to be preached is repentance, confession, nationally, from the highest office in this land to the lowest person on this continent and around the world, quite frankly. But you know that's not happening unless God pours out his spirit to such a degree. What do those high school kids need to know? You know what they needed? They needed Billy Graham to go to their campuses and to tell them what he's been telling this nation for how long? 70 years? But, you know, the schools won't let Billy Graham in. The schools won't let preachers in. The schools won't let evangelists in. The schools won't let Bibles in. The schools won't let prayer in. And so when God's not allowed in, when he's not allowed to come into a school, how do you get to the attention of these kids? And so the legislators in those areas, the people that are in control, the principal, the teachers, you know, now we're going to have to equip them, carry guns. People aren't feeling safe anymore. But if they turn to Jesus, the Comforter would come and comfort everybody, and the Comforter would bring an insulation and a protection. And by the way, we're moving into the year 5778. It means in the Hebrew, get under the wing, get under the protective hedge. It's the Psalm 91 season. Do you think God is saying that without a cause? Do you believe God is saying that without a purpose? Well, come on, folks. I know that it's just a number in a concordance, but it has terrific meaning. And we are not yet done with 5777. But again, those numbers are very, very powerful. Beloved, I want to go back to this prophecy now. Beloved, to those who love me and whom I love, continue to prepare yourselves in me. I do not exaggerate when I say that all hell is about to break loose upon the USA and eventually the entire world. But just as Daniel and his three friends found out, no matter what trial you, my beloved, find yourselves in, I am with you. As they dedicated their hearts to me and loved not their lives unto death, I moved in their dire circumstances to save them and glorify my name. I have been listening, Patricia Joy, my beloved wife, has been saying, I don't know how long, that all hell is about to break loose. I've been hearing that phrase everywhere. All hell is about to break loose. And when you stop and consider what that means, again, we better be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were carried away captive, but they kept their hearts on God, and God moved supernaturally. So we concur and agree. Continuing on. The works that I will be doing in the very near future on behalf of my beloved will be unprecedented. Okay, there's a confirmation of what we've been saying for the last several months about the acceleration of the purposes of God in the earth, about a dispensational shift, that God is looking for faithful men and women to steward the next great move of God, that there are going to be things happening inwardly in God's people that are going to just transform things everywhere. So let's see where this goes. Continues on. I have a mighty weapon hidden throughout the ages that I have been preparing to unleash on the earth. This mighty weapon, soon to be revealed, will come forth as an army terrible with banners, leaning on her beloved, coming from the wilderness, my secret garden, walled and unseen and unheard of, as they carried the sword of Yahweh and the sword of Gideon. She will break forth as the clay pots of Gideon were shattered, and my glory will shine forth and be revealed to all flesh, principalities, and powers. This will be the culmination of my great mystery being revealed, as Paul, my servant, declared. So what's happening here? Gideon's army. We've been talking about Gideon's army. I've been praying about gathering 300 men in every city for the last several weeks, and how God wants that to get done, and how Gideon was the remnant that came out. So we've talked about that. We are the plan of God, the glory that is within us, the acceleration and the rapid acceleration of the fruitfulness within our lives, where the divine nature within us is about to outray and go on display. Come on. This is what we've been talking about. There's confirmation everywhere. He said, the greatest of all solar flares from my sun, S-O-N, will hit this world. Come on, that's exactly what we were talking about. Unlike anything ever seen or heard of, judge not the future by what you currently see. For eyes have not seen nor ears heard all that I have had in preparation before the foundations of the world. Only through intimate relationship with me can you see and perceive in part for now what I have in store for the times ahead. You see, one more paragraph. Continue to dig into my word and spirit. Precious gems can only be found by those diligent in digging them out of the ground. Your efforts will not be in vain. If you search me, my word will open with humble hearts and let go of the doctrines of men. I will truly reveal myself and my plan to you. All heaven is ready for you. I am ready for you. My dear one, my choice one, I have longed for this time to come. Share in my excitement. My joy is your strength. Now, that's a pretty interesting thing to think that God's calling his people into joy while the world is sorrowing. But did you know that Jesus said those exact words, that right now the world is rejoicing and they're doing their thing and you're sad and sorrowing, but your sorrow will be turned into joy and a lamentation and a woe will come upon the earth. Did you know in the book of Revelation that the holy prophets of God and the people that were martyred will see the righteous judgment of God come upon Babylon and they will rejoice over the destruction of Babylon? Yes, it is time to see God's hand move, but you and I got to get out of the center, got to get out of the gray zone, walk fully in the light, and look what this is saying, ladies and gentlemen. God is about to do something through a people. That's our opening comment for right now. It's 9:27. We want to definitely open the lines to anybody that is wanting to call into the broadcast today. I've got some special things to share, but we will just open the lines right now, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. And what are your comments about what you just heard? Is it not an absolute confirmation and a culmination of everything that we have been talking about for quite some time now? And I believe it is. God has a plan. I keep hearing it everywhere I go. Acceleration, rapid acceleration. You've been hearing it on this broadcast for over 4 months now. God has laid forth a plan. He has sowed spiritual seed into your understanding. He's going to water that seed, and everything he said is going to come to fruition. And it's all about what God is doing in your life. Not that you're the center. I'm not in the center. It's not about us. It's God working with the material he has to demonstrate his own glory, to manifest his own power. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. I'll make sure to bring you right into the broadcast today. And again, what more can we say? What more can we say about these days that we're living in? What awesome, awesome times. And we are on the right path. We are moving in the right direction. And our prayer for those of you that are tuned into the broadcast, those that are listening abroad, wherever this ministry is going forth, we are asking God to do great things in your life, because God is going to pay special attention to those who call upon him. And as you and I continue to call upon the name of the Lord, he promised that he would continue to deliver us, sanctify us, set us free, work with us, walk with us, be with us. He has committed himself to us in giving us his Holy Spirit. That, to me, is an amazing thing, that God has been able to divide himself, and yet he's undivided. He's been able to work with every individual, millions and millions and millions, if not billions, of people at the same time. God has committed himself personally, intimately, to walk with, to guide, to teach, to grow up, to oversee, to be with forever. I mean, that's amazing. How does God actually do that? We're not serving a small God. We don't have a little God. And yes, we're in tough times right now, and they're going to get tougher. We've seen nothing yet. We've seen nothing but foot soldiers. We know that war is coming on this planet, and it is unavoidable, and it is going to be unprecedented. It is known as World War III, and we have not yet seen. Do you think, by the way, I want to ask you a question. Maybe we could dialogue here. I was thinking about the Islamic terrorists, the sleeper cells. What do you think they are thinking about what just happened in Florida? Well, you know that was a predominantly Jewish community, right? Like 70% of the people that went to that school were Jewish. What do you think the Muslim, the Islamic terrorist, what do you think they're doing? Do you think they're crying with the American public? Do you think they're weeping and mourning? Do you? I'm just curious. Do you think they're going, wow, that's really sad. Those 17 people lost their lives, most of them children. That's so sad. I don't. I don't think they're lamenting. I don't believe they're weeping. I don't believe they're mourning. I believe they are rejoicing, and they are thanking the bad people for the help that they're getting to bring more terror, to bring more destruction upon this nation. Now, they're working hard in the European continent. They're working hard to bring all kinds of devastation and destruction. And do you get the feeling that the enemy is still within our nation, that the lion is in the thicket, observing the prey and ready to pounce? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been going on for a long time. We're in another level. We said this a few weeks ago, that the next level, the next cycle, was going to hit this nation. And I believe right now you're experiencing the next level of cycle, and it is psychological. A lot of this is called psychological warfare. And psychological warfare is always it goes in first before the actual real power comes. And there is a tremendous psychological impact upon our nation, upon the inhabitants of America. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it in the news. You're seeing it on television. You're seeing it. The kids are being psychologically impacted by that event. It's not just one event. It's a continuum of many types of active shooter events that have gone on within our nation. Now the conversation is starting. And now everybody's talking about this. But again, where was the conversation when God was speaking to America, warning this nation that he would send an adversary against a hypocritical nation? I'm waiting to talk with you this morning, 818-369-0326. Please press 1 on the dial pad if you have any questions or comments to what you're hearing today. Is this just a repetitive conversation? Are we just kind of in repeat mode, turning it on, hearing the same thing? Or are we looking at something and examining something and looking to navigate? You see, thank God, I thank God personally, that we are not just talking about all the bad stuff. Thank God. And there's a lot of bad stuff out there. In this conversation that we've been having on the Omega Radio Network, there are solutions. And not only are there solutions, God has been unveiling and revealing his plan to as many people that want to know what his plan is. And he's calling us to an astute attention. He's calling us to a sobriety. He's calling us to a clarity of thought and thinking and mind. He wants to know, are we serious about moving with him in this paradigm shift that is ready to happen, this dispensational shift of God that is coming on the earth at this time to bring forth a harvest? Are we ready to steward it, or are we just going to be the observers? Or are we going to be activated with divine acceleration everywhere we go, manifesting the glory of God, bringing what God wants to give to people as we go? It's not going to be in the church buildings anymore alone. This movement is what is going to happen as we go. This is the fulfillment of a prophecy as we go about the kingdom business. The kingdom business will be transacted in our lives. The kingdom is about to be manifested all over the place, in grocery stores, at airports, in hospitals, in malls. It is an effulgencing, an outrain of God's glory to do something in an accelerated way to get the attention of people that their souls may be saved. And the church in its present state is no match for what is coming on this earth. And that is the truth. If it was a match, these things wouldn't be happening. Our country wouldn't be in the condition that it is. And it's because the church is divided, the church is schismatic, the church is still fighting itself more than most people. Some of the rudest, cruelest people are people that go to church that just they don't happen to agree with other people, so they have that spirit about them. It's like a spirit of murder. It's really dark, deep, and ugly. And so the church is no match for what's happening. So God has to pull out of the whole of the church, like Gideon's army. And he's got to find 300 that are ready to cooperate with him. And it is through them, that remnant, that God will do his greatest work in this earth. Do you believe it? Let's take our first call this morning, coming from area code 479-715. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. I've wanted to touch base or mention about the bloodshed and the horrors of abortion. And that we have not begun to see the bloodshed outside of the womb. And we reap what we sow. This is God's law. And it, the horrors. And I think about the, you know, the places that we consider comfort, you know, our cars, our homes, our places of a vacation place that we may consider comfortable. We haven't been ripped from our comfort zone to be dismembered out in the streets. So we must, if we are claiming the name of Christ, we must do everything that we can to defend those lives that are in the womb, to preserve their lives. We must. If we don't want to see bloodshed, I mean, I do agree that we have crossed the point of no return, which the Spirit of God has been saying for years. But we must, if we are part of the true church of Jesus Christ, we must do everything in our power to defend their little lives. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you for the comment. And, you know, there is a spiritual law there in that commentary, and the spiritual law is what you reap, you shall sow. If you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. And a lot of people do believe, including myself, that this mass murder that has happened within our nation through abortion is something that is going to be reaped. A lot of people feel that way. Waiting for your call today, area code 818-369-0326. If you're on the line right now, press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you into the conversation. In the meantime, I have friends that have written books. Dr. John Price is one of them, and many others. And I have met at different times, both Patricia and I, with these little council roundtable discussions with different men of faith and women of faith throughout the country. Several years ago, we met with Rick Wiles and Steve Quayle and about 10 or 11 other prophets that made a decision back in 2011 that this judgment was sealed upon America, and most of them were concurring that it was time to leave the country, to get out of the United States of America. It's not a safe place, and they did. Dr. John Price, he moved out of the country, and I won't say where they're at. They don't mind. They've told a lot of people, but they're no longer in the United States. And we started looking at the reports where hundreds of thousands of people every year were actually known as expats, were leaving the country. When they were moving, they were relocating into different parts of the world, and they were living their lives in different places because they didn't believe America was a safe place. Well, right now, America is not a safe place. I mean, I don't know if any place on the planet is safe, but I'm speaking from the perspective of a high school student, that they're weeping and they are crying and they are sorrowing over the fact that they are not feeling safe. They don't want to go to a park. They don't want to go to a mall. They don't want to hang out in a group with their friends because this thing has happened now. It's in the atmosphere. It's grown. It's gone exponential. All right, this concern. I wonder how many people are going to be out and about that know what just happened in schools today. Another threat just came off the internet last night. I was early this morning, actually, listening to Paul Petit on the 4029 News locally here, and he did a report on a national FBI investigation into a report that there was going to be a school shooting at SCH, I think it was, school. And it just gave the letters. And so now they're scanning all the high schools in the nation that have those letters. And a couple of them were Springdale High School and another one here locally. And so this movement is happening right now. It's very real. Is America a safe place to live? Is it time to flee America, or is it time for God to do something within this nation at this time that would turn the tide? I think that's a worthy conversation. How many people want to feel safe? And that's the conversation going on in the highest echelons right now. How do we get ourselves into a place of feeling safe? And again, my personal belief is the only answer to this problem, and I believe it would be solved in a snap of a finger, if everyone in that room with the president and the vice president last night would simply allow themselves to be fools for Christ and not be ashamed of the gospel and what the left and the progressives and Hollywood would have to say. If they fell down, they said, let's pray and invite Jesus into this situation right now. We need Jesus. We need his wisdom. We need his mind. We need to understand the way he understands. We need to confess the sins of our nation. We need to confess our own sins. We need to confess that we have been participating in doing things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And then what we could do is begin to legislate what Hollywood is bringing out into our society. Again, I marvel at this. How is it possible that you saturate your society with images that are so violent and destructive and ugly and evil and blasphemy against God, against Jesus, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on every Walt Disney program, the defiant, rebellious attitude that's projected, or the sitcoms where homosexuality is a big joke, or the hero with the gun that just shot 40 people, or the vengeance, or the crime, or the gangbang, and the drug deal. You know, all of these things have been projected, and yet we expect everybody to act normal. I don't know how you can do that. We're going to take our next call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Okay, yes, listening to you here. And I do have a question. Okay, with the phase that we've now entered into, and then according to the Word of God, the Bible, there is a period of time when it speaks about for 42 months, there will be the rule of this Antichrist over the whole world. Now, when this is present here, and God will definitely have to take care of his chosen people if we choose to stay here. There's nowhere to go, right?
There are times and there are people that God will instruct them where they need to be and what they need to do. For example, my wife and I, Patricia and I, believe that we're right where God wants us to be for the moment. We've been here for 8 years, and we've done what he's asked us to do. And we were moved by the Spirit, and we just uprooted our lives, and we came here, and God gave us a new way to live life. And if he wants us to go somewhere else, we will. I do believe that the Lord has places for his people to dwell, and some people are hearing by the Holy Spirit that they need to leave, and they're following what they believe the Holy Spirit is telling them to do. Now, why would the Holy Spirit tell someone to leave the nation and tell others to go to different parts within the nation? Well, that's the Lord's work, and our job is to be led by the Holy Spirit. My pastor used to say it this way: when all the bombs drop, if we're walking with the Lord, all the dust settles, we will still be standing. And Psalm 91 concurs with that we'll see 1,000 at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh us. But that is not an advocation of well, you know, I'm okay, I can do what I want to do. It's to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And we have to describe what that secret place is, understand it, and then move into it. So to answer your question, it is a personal leading, and yet there are environments that I believe can be created by the Holy Spirit. Where you are, as people begin to gather together, and God would call his people to gather together, that gathering place, whether it be in a home or wherever it may be, can be a habitation of the Holy Spirit to such a degree that the glory of God would rest upon that as a hedge of protection. Because wherever God's glory is, remember what it says in Isaiah, that there is a hedge around the glory. So wherever the glory of God is, there is a hedge of God's protection. So the advocation is to have two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, or whether it be 200 or 300. But the idea is to gather together. Now, again, you know, you stop and think about this, and forgive me for rambling here. I'm just thinking, you know, there was a gathering together in Texas where a Baptist church, they were doing what they normally do, and somebody walked into the church and killed 26 people. This is the fear element. This is the uncertainty element. We don't know why that was allowed to happen. Or the Sheik Temple in Wisconsin, where an armed man went in and shot and killed people that were just minding their own business, and on with the schools and all these different things. So to answer your question, I think each person needs to know from the Lord where they need to be.
Yes. Now, I did hear, too, that a lot of people that God is placing out of the United States of America, they really have calls of God on their life, and they will minister there, wherever that place may be, and then some will, of this remnant of people that God has, call them the sons of God, call them the army of God, or whatever, or Gideon's army, they will have that divine protection. Yes, that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. Let's take our next call here this morning, coming in from area code 479-855. You're on the air. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, PK. How are you?
I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those prayers last night. They help a lot.
Good.
And aside from that, though, you know, the first thought that hit me this morning is that when times get rough in situations like this, most people run for the hills. But that's not what God's army is doing. God's people need to take a stand. Now, I'm really speaking to every individual that is listening on here. What if you are the individual that God has picked to become a main part of his army to do the work in specific areas? And what if that wasn't done? What if you ignored it on here? And think about what you're losing out on. One is that you're not a part of God's army. You are becoming literally an assistant to the enemy by not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Secondly, I can't help but think of individuals, again, too, like even my own. Good example is Abe Lincoln, who was raised in a log cabin, self-taught himself all the way through all of his schooling, and had a real battle to get to the presidency of the United States. I give that man an awful lot of credit. But what we will be doing on this earth at this particular point in time is much greater than anything that any man has done before, except with the exception of Jesus. But I'm talking about just regular mankind on here. We've got a task. We've got details. We've got things that would need to be done. And God is beginning to supply all the needs for each and every one of us to step forth into the battle, to become a part of the victory celebration that will be coming forth at the end. We know that, and I want to be on that front line. And I think a lot of people that are hearing this want to be on that front line as well. But you just can't sit back. You need to go ahead and take a positive approach to all these things, asking the Lord, what can I do? Where do I need to be? Give me the training that I need, Lord. put me in a position where I can hear and understand and learn and do and become a valuable part of the Army, that I can be essential in the work that you're going ahead and doing. And then and only then will our spirits ever truly, really be satisfied. When we know that we've done all that we could do and we've stood for the Lord and did everything to help our brothers and sisters, what a great testimony that will be on our parts and on the part that God will be able to share and say, hey, look at my servant. Look what he has done. Look what she has done. That is the greatest victory that we can ever have, no matter what happens, no matter where we are. Opportunity is available right now. And it's up to us to choose that and to do it. And don't sit back and say, well, somebody else will do it. They can do it. No, you can do it because you are a part of God's army. Recognize that and stand and do what you need to go ahead and do.
Very good. Words of exhortation. I'm sure they are much appreciated because it is a call to the army of the Lord to gather together and to move in cadence with the Lord. You know, on another note here, and this is where these pleas, these exhortations, these encouragements, these calls to God's people, they're such gentle woos. And yet, while people are being gently wooed by the Lord as though they've got, you know, an eternity to figure things out, anti-Christian group is now declaring war on religious freedom in Trump's America. Listen to this. Americans United for Separation of Church and State, which is AUSCS, AUSCS, or something like that, has chosen Rachel Lazer, an abortion rights and LGBT rights activist, as its new executive director in an ongoing battle against conservative Christianity. So prior to coming to AUSCS, Lazer worked for Planned Parenthood as well as leading the Pharmacy Refusal Project at the National Women's Law Center, an initiative opposing the rights of pharmacists to refuse to fill certain prescriptions on grounds of religious or moral objections. Lazer was also deputy director of advocacy for Reform Judaism and is the first Jewish director of this organization. So Lazer, whose role model is Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, will focus her war especially on Christians as she endeavors to redefine freedom of religion as a diverse, vibrant country and not a monolithic, culturally favored religion in this country. So although initially this organization was founded in opposition to Catholics, it developed over the years into a thoroughly anti-Christian organization defending atheists and religious minorities against America's traditionally Christian culture. Now, this is a very long article. I won't read it. But what I'm saying is that while we're being gently wooed to come into order and, you know, figure it out, the enemy is well organized, moving forward, tides that are so big, making impacts all over this country and around the world. I mean, they're not stopping. They're not sorry enough. Do you know what I'm saying? Here is another issue where this is titled Love is Love. A televised gay kiss lights up the Olympics. And so what is this article all about? This is what's going on in our society. Pyeongchang, gay freestyle skier Gus Kenworthy said it was a moment that he never dreamed possible as a child after he was filmed kissing his partner on live television at the Olympics. It has been hailed by some as a landmark moment in games history, and the footage went viral on social media. The 26-year-old American finished the 12th in the slopestyle on Sunday, but still found himself making headlines after kissing his boyfriend at the bottom of the slope while the TV camera were on it. Now, I don't know about you, but that is absolutely oppressive. That is absolutely evil. And when I hear homosexual people talking about the evil things that those bad people are doing, man, is that a dichotomy or what? I don't even want to read the rest of the article. Anyways, here we are. We are on area code 818-369-0326. There's got to be a more militant beat to our lives. And I just can't imagine God gently sitting back, wooing people, giving them all kinds of time to make a decision. I happen to believe that God's army has already made the decision, and they're already waiting for their orders, even today. What are my orders? What do I do today? Lord, how do I go about finding my assignment to get involved in what you're doing? And ladies and gentlemen, can you think of anything more profound than proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, wherever you go, you have a voice. And wherever you see corruption, that is the time to preach the gospel and to declare that this corruption will bring damnation. There's a savior. And tell America, tell the Americans, tell Hollywood, tell Washington, tell everyone everywhere about Jesus, about the cross, about the shedding of blood, the forgiveness of sins, the need for confession, the need for repentance, the need to turn around and repent before you too die. Jesus simply said in Luke 13, when he was told about the horrible things that were happening, unless you repent, you too will perish. Don't give a false hope to people that we're going to fix this with gun control and gun laws. No way. That's not the reality. You think the enemy and the murderers are going to abide by that? You know what would happen if anything really came down the pike where they wanted to take people's guns away? You'd be in the next great revolution. The Civil War would be on. I mean, come on. And yet this is where our society is going. The question is, have you stepped out of having one foot in the world? Have I stepped out? Have you stepped out? And one foot in the kingdom? Are we all in or are we not all in? That is the question. And Pastor Ken, just getting back to what you had said a moment ago, I mean, I heard the gentle wooing to call people to a place of, you know, come on, guys, get involved. I mean, you've been in the military. Is that how military commanders prepare their army and call them to attention?
They prepare you for the battle. They prepare you so that when it happens, you have a familiarity with it. So you don't run. You don't hide. Rather, you respond according to how you've been trained so that you can overcome what the enemy is trying to go ahead and do.
And do
that
they do
is
that
where
gentle,
we should be.
Yeah, do they do that by a gentle wooing, though? Does the company commander gently say, hey, guys, why don't we come this way? And, you know, we're just kind of waiting for you. Is that the way it works, or is it more militant than that?
Oh, it's a lot more militant than that. Those DIs will straighten you out so fast, it'll make your head spin.
Well, but give us a little example. How would they command this army? How would they train it up?
With strict discipline all the way through. And what happens is that someplace during that training, all of a sudden you realize that you are a part of all of the men there, and all of us begin to think alike. And when somebody gets out of line, the DIs don't have to handle it. The regular men begin to handle it. So there's a transference of what they were trying to bring about. And that's what God is trying to go ahead and do with us today, that same type of thing. It's very militant in nature, very strong. And eventually, his people will begin to go ahead and take over, and they won't even need the orders because they'll know what they'll have to do.
Amen. Amen. Kathy, any comments about what you're hearing? We've got a few minutes left in the broadcast. Just some final comments. I want to leave a quote from Billy Graham, but wanted to make sure, Kathy, if there's anything left.
I got a comment, and this is Ken, the other Ken.
Yes, sir.
What Ken was bringing out was about the military, and I was in the service also. And if you lose control day one, which the military do not, what they do is you get there and they let you know who's boss right up front.
That's right.
And as far as it carries on through, and it's the same way with the family, it's the same way with the church, it should be the same way. And if the family loses control of their children, right off the bat, it carries through the whole life, and that's what we're having problems with today in the schools and right on up. If the government thinks they can end up control what's going on in the schools, I used to be very positive toward America, and I'm losing faith almost every day, and I've feel that our president that we have today is trying to bring us back around to what it should be. But if the people don't have a change of heart, and if the churches don't start preaching what they need to preach, we are going to continue to go downhill, and we've been going downhill for a long, long time. It just didn't start with Obama. It didn't start with Trump. It's been going on for years.
You know, that's an just a very good comment. And what I'm thinking, Ken, as you're talking, I've been hearing this phrase bounce around a lot, and I would love to hear from somebody that knows a little bit more about this. You know, I've done my study, I've read up on it, but I've never experienced it or seen it. But some are saying that this conversation, what's happening in our country right now, that there is some advantage being taken to turn this country into a police state, a police state. And I would love to hear from somebody that has a little bit more knowledge about what a police state is like and how we actually get there. And the example that I've always been given about a police state is Nazi Germany. And one of the things that we have heard about Nazi Germany was disarmament of the guns, disarm the people from having weapons. And then the government that has all the weapons takes over in that society. And then you saw the atrocities that were being committed against people that were against what that particular government wanted to do. So are you recognizing, you've been around for some time, are you recognizing the potential for a police state to exist more than it already does in our country?
Kitty Wersman from South Dakota here, she is a 92-year-old lobbyist, not paid. She is a Christian lobbyist, and she was raised in Austria. And when Austria was taken over by Hitler, it wasn't that he came in with arms to take over the country. He came in with promises that he was going to do for the country, because the country was in financial problems and that. And so they voted within their country to accept him as more or less a leader. And so they lost their freedom because of the fact that they were hoodwinked into believing that this is the way to go.
Very interesting. Kitty Wersman was on this radio broadcast throughout the years, and we actually heard her speak, and she begged the people of this country to not give up their guns, and she said the time would come there would be a real push for it. And here's the sad thing. We know that the far left, the progressive left, the hate Trump and never Trump and all that stuff that's going on, their agenda is to continue to harass, to vex, to push at this administration all the way to the end of the four-year term, and then to replace him with their own again, their Hillary Clinton, their Bernie Sanders, whoever they are going to put into power. This is their desire. And these moments are so critical for us. And every law that is passed right now is a step towards something somebody with a ill temper or temperament may have control over in the days ahead. So we're living in a very critical time, and a police state, protests, upheaval, chaos, fear, running rampant within our society. The next event that we're going to see in our country, you know, right now, can you imagine another event happening in the next few days? Again, things will begin to shake within this nation, and people don't get that, Ken. I mean, one more event in a few more days. You watch what happens to your stock market. Watch what happens to your financial industries. Things will begin to rattle and roll. That's how vulnerable we really are in our nation.
Well, and it turns out that we were discussing earlier in the conversation that it was brought up as far as people leaving the country. And when we discussed that with Kitty, this is some years ago, she says, as far as leaving this country, she says, is not the answer, because she says this is the last and freest country that is around the world right now. And so she says what people need to do is turn back to God and get our own straightened out. But the main thing is turn to God.
Amen. And isn't it the most important thing? I mean, we're all getting a little bit older now. Let's face it. We're just getting up there and time is going by. But it's the generation behind us. And I think, you know, I hear a lot of that talk right now, that it is the young students, the high school students, the kids that are growing up within the society, what is happening within them? What construct is being built around their lives? And if we would take the attention and focus off ourselves and saving ourselves and say, well, what can I do? Father God, what can I do at this time? Is there anything? And then we talk about this end time army being super empowered by the Spirit of God with kingdom authority. You know, what do we do with that? And so it is just a critical moment of spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual moment that we are really in right now. And each one of us has to do our part. Each one of us has to know our assignment. And I just don't know what more to say about that. And I'm going to have to get ready right now to turn this over to Patricia Joy. I've taken actually 4 minutes of her time, and she's ready to get on the air. Maybe she has some thoughts to add to the conversation. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning on this broadcast at the Watchman. And Patricia Joy, how are you doing this morning, and what is it that you are prepared to share with the listeners that are out there today, and how are you this morning anyways?
Well, a little bit disturbed, of course, because of everything going on. But, you know, we've known this. We knew it was going to take place. It's already been prophesied in the Bible. It is absolutely right there, right on. And I'll tell you what I see happening with the things going on in these schools of murder and what have you, and how it's being set up, in my estimation, for a police state. And if you continue to move in that direction, what happens after a while is that it becomes more and more controlled. Now, when that begins, you are not going to want to go to the various places to shop and to do what you normally did before. Already, it's that way because of the circumstances and everything that is going on right now. What you're going to do is stay home and purchase everything online, and you're going to become withdrawn. Why? Because you'll be afraid to go anywhere where there's gathering. And then when you make decisions that we have to get out there, we have to be part of socialism. By that, I mean socializing. When that happens, then, of course, the military will be involved because they're going to have to protect the malls. They're going to have to protect the theaters and the schools and everything else. And before you know it, we're a policed state. And then more and more control comes upon us. And that has already been decided by the One World Order, and it's been planned for over 100 years. It's coming to fruition now. So what do we do? Well, the Bible tells us, come out of her, or come out from her, my people. What does that mean? Do we run to another country, or do we get a little piece of land like we have and gather together and work together to get things accomplished when everything else is going down? When you go to the store and you're commanded to only get so much at that store because everything is sort of falling apart, and there's not the abundance there used to be, there's not the produce there used to be, or is there another thing that it means? And I believe it means, do not take on their ways, because their ways are pouring, and they are absolutely deadly, and what is even worse is they are totally controlling. You won't have a life of your own anymore. Your bank accounts and everything would be controlled. How much money you can spend and can't spend will be controlled. Who you can talk to and who you can't talk to will be controlled. And the airwaves will be controlled. And that's what it's all about. So come out from her. In other words, do not take on the ways of this world's systems, because they are now moving in the direction to control every individual in the world. In AI, intelligence, technology, they are working through that to make sure it happens. So it's all planned. And the only thing that we can do at this time is become that mighty army that is absolutely the most glorious army that has ever been, so that when these things are getting more difficult, for us, we rise up. And we rise up in faith. We know and are led by the Holy Spirit for exactness. And we heal people. We speak to them for salvation. And the church becomes a power station. And this has not been for a while since what we first had established of Christianity when Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. But he said in the last days, latter rain coming together. And that is so important because that will empower us if we have faith and unity to overcome every situation that Satan is throwing at the church. It's already starting to work against the church itself. And of course, we always knew that would happen according to scripture and according to the word of God. So we must be that light. We must be that power on the earth today, and that will be our faith and our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding, and our overcoming the things of the world. We don't need the things of the world. In the 18th century, 17 and 16, they were able to do things without having to be involved with everything of governmental control. So, and they did fine. They did well, and we could go back to that. Now, I'm Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, and today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, Christian Bill of Rights. And without deliverance, the church will be totally weak, and you will be pulled out into the world system. So we must be strong. And as it was read yesterday, we had procedure for deliverance. And friends, do not be surprised if the person coming for deliverance, if you're ready to be a deliverer, the person coming for deliverance has a strange compulsion to run from your door and flee. We have witnessed this time and time again as moving in the ministry of deliverance. Many of those who believed now come and openly confess their evil deeds, praise God. But those who are coming fresh for a deliverance ministry, Satan often grabs hold of them and causes them to be fearful. In Acts 19:19, it says that a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. That's what begins to happen. The occult way begins to be pulled out. And so we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see people that have received Christ again in a fresh and new way with the power of the Holy Spirit will begin to take a lot of their occult books and what have you and get rid of them, burn them. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls in total, it came to over $22,000. Now, that's back 2,000 years ago. It's going to happen today, but only in a greater manner, in a greater way. And the word of the Lord then spread widely and grew in power. And that is what is going to happen now, only in a double portion, a greater move of the Spirit. Wouldn't you like to see that happen today? I know I would. Especially considering all the occult material being distributed in bookstores throughout the world, right near the Christian stands, it goes on and on with occult material. And we must recognize that this is the power of Satan ruling over the people involved in the New Age movement. And what we're seeing now is a great movement of such that has refused Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, but they believe they are or have the power of Christ, the energy of Christ, the light of Christ operating in their lives. And, you know, it is a way of power because I was there at one time and I understand how it feels. You do feel you're in the right way until Jesus Christ came into my life. And I saw that there was a greater way, a greater purpose. And that was in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ by receiving him and making him the Lord of my life. And just listening to Billy Graham, some of the things that he ministered and spoke of. Billy Graham, who died yesterday, said that no one can solve their problems without Jesus Christ. And I'm quoting this because my sister sent this to me, and I think it's a very vital for the moment. This is something we need to understand greatly, not just ideas and concepts about it, but a movement in our own lives to fall on our knees and say, then Jesus Christ, come into my heart. And this is a way of receiving salvation, and it is time to do that because his power and his life will come in you, and you will have guidance, and you will have direction, and you will have protection. So, friends, let's not be surprised if the person that, like I said before, is coming to you for deliverance has a strange compulsion to turn from your door and flee. We had people, as I said, come to us for deliverance, be ready to knock on the door, and Satan just built up in them a certain fear, and they took off. And Satan had that kind of strength and handle on them, even though they wanted deliverance. So that could happen. Don't be dismayed by it. Realize that this is a real war you're fighting, and that you have been given the strength and the power and the life to be able to deliver them. And pray that they can come back and really receive the gift that God has given us in such an incredible way, the power to be delivered of all bondage. Praise God. And the evil spirits are very aware of what is going to take place, and that they are about to lose their self-named home when you go into deliverance with an individual. Because as I said before, in Scripture, you're the house of the devil. Sin opens the door to it. They come in, generational bloodline curses, and they come in, familiar spirits, and they need to be taken care of. They need to be severed from your life so that you can truly be set free. And remember, demonic spirits will know if you are real or just trying to build up a ministry, if that is your ministry, and reputation with a clean heart before God. Your heart does have to be clean. You have to be ready. You have to receive the Holy Spirit, the empowerment to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open blind eyes, to open deaf ears. And that is spiritual and physical both. And when the Holy Spirit is within you, the devils know that they are coming before the presence of God, not you, but the presence of God that is within you. They recognize that Holy Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit within you. And that this is where warfare comes in. And the angels of God, the unholy angels, are after us and have been granted victory. We know that, but we haven't taken hold of that which has already been given to us, and it through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. He said, it is finished. Everything that we need is at hand. It is a done deal. It is finished. He said so on the cross. He has given us every wherewithal to move forward to that army of God that was discussed earlier on Pastor Vincent's radio program, which I was so glad it was brought up, because that's my heart. The army of God is my heart. And that means that we as an army have to be overcomers. And again, what are we overcoming? We're overcoming the world and its way, meaning our natural old nature ways, and the devil himself, who has warred against our soul and who has taken control even at birth, has come in with generational bloodline curses. And that's why some of us react certain ways. You ever notice that a child becomes old enough to grab another child's toy, that child wants that toy and will try to do it if possible. Well, what? Or to hide something that they want when you ask little Johnny, Johnny, where's that cookie? I know you were eating cookies and you shouldn't be eating them right now. Dinner's at hand. And Johnny says, oh, I don't have any cookies. And he lies. Where did they learn that from? Well, you could say the parents. But some of them are too young at the very beginning to even have learned about lying or taking from another. It is born within us. It's a generational curse. But Christ came to remove that curse. And so we have to teach our children properly, bring them to the cross, get them delivered. Our children are very important to get delivered right now, because if they're not delivered in this world, they're going down. You're going to suffer. And them do it. But they need to be delivered. They need to receive Jesus as children, being taught the ways of the Lord as children. And then grow up into strength. That doesn't mean they won't be tried later. They will. But if they have a solid foundation, they'll come back to it. So often now, children are being taught in schools something totally different than Jesus Christ. There was a time where a public school did talk about Jesus Christ, and the Bible was taught. And that was in the very beginning of the foundations of the earth into the 100-year, the first 100 years and the second 100 years. But then now, within the last 80 years, it's been slowly drawn away and taken away. But definitely in 1960s, the strength of that started to pound. And now one of the children was proclaiming, why don't you stop this, God? What's going on in our schools and the shooting and the killing? You don't want me there anymore. So we have turned ourselves away from the power in which we have had. And it's to be considered. Because if our schools say you cannot pray, you cannot read the Bible, you could only learn some things about the Quran, oh, that's okay. But definitely nothing about Christianity, which made the schools powerful in the first place because of the incredible word of God that was taught in spirit and in truth to make children strong and make this nation great. That's what made this nation great, not finances. That came because we honored the true and living God, and he blesses those who honor him. And this nation became a blessing. But then when we allowed more and more of other nations to come in with their gods, and they started to establish their ways, confusion came in. Now, we're supposed to think that our Constitution is very benevolent and allows all these different religions in. But I'm telling you that false religions bring nothing but chaotic situations, and we're seeing it right now. Now, let's go back to Israel. Israel allowed foreigners into the nations in the Old Testament, definitely. In the New Testament, Rome was already in control. But they allowed God allowed it, even in the Old Testament, in the Leviticus law, they allowed foreigners to come in and be helpful in their nation. But there was one thing, foreigners who were mostly pagans, and had other gods, and they came in, but there was things that had to be done. They had to believe in the God of Israel, or they could not stay as foreigners. And even with that, many Israelis turned away from the true God of Israel and went into worshiping foreign gods, and even worshiping their children in the fires of these foreign gods as sacrifices. And it grew in strength. And we're seeing it happen right now. Why? Because the truth of doing what is right according to God's word was once very available to us, and the nation was in the light of that work. But now it's been fading out from our government and fading out from our nations. It doesn't work. Christ is the answer, as it was said by Billy Graham when my sister sent this to me, that no one can solve their problems without Jesus Christ. Wow, pretty powerful. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that, of course, because they think it's insanity, or they think it's ridiculous, or they mock it. But it's what made this nation great, folks. Now, let's go back to procedure for deliverance. We're here to talk about deliverance. I'm here to talk about deliverance, and we're doing this together. First thing to do, plan ahead for the deliverance by selecting beforehand a place where there will be no disturbances or distractions, because the first thing that Satan's going to try to do is start destroying. It happened every time. There'll be a dog maybe outside barking and barking and barking, or you'll hear all of a sudden, as we did yesterday during the Bible study, a thundering and a sound of rain so heavy that we all looked up wondering what's going on, and it went on for a while during the Bible study. Or phone calls will start coming in, or there'll be some kind of distraction with maybe the child that's in the house. So there's certain things that we need to do. And I suggest that windows be closed when you're ready to bring forth the deliverance ministry. Now, all this time I've been on radio speaking about how to be a deliverance minister. And I have been giving all the examples and all the reasons why it's imperative to do this. And again, if more became aware of this ministry within the church, we would have greater success, much greater success, because the kingdom of God is that very thing, setting the captives free. Jesus Christ said, I came to set the captives free. That's what he came for. And he gave us the ability through the Holy Spirit to do the same, the enabler. The Holy Spirit is the enabler. So the foundation has been laid. And if you haven't been with me through this, I would suggest you order my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, through Amazon, online, and they will deliver this to you, and you begin to work with me from page to page so that we are together in our understanding. So I suggested that windows be closed and all telephones be taken off the hook or disconnected, your cell phones go off. When I wrote this book, cell phones weren't popular then. And I recommended that the ministry be conducted by two that are not novices in the ways of deliverance. In other words, they understand the ways of deliverance. They study the Bible. They have the anointing to do so. And there can be more people present if they are seasoned Christians. You don't want new involved in this, because Satan will be very aware of it, and he'll turn on them. Believe me, he will. And these seasoned Christians who have faith and the ability to continue in prayer and agreement during the deliverance, not that they are doing the deliverance, but they're backing you up in prayer, they're backing you up in agreement, and they have faith in the ability to continue in that while the ministry is going on during the deliverance. So you could have more people that are seasoned Christians, and two that are together really doing the deliverance. And why two? Because the Lord always sent them out in twos. It is an agreement that is more powerful. Agreement that is powerful in the knowledge of the truth, which gives strength to the deliverance. Then the second thing that must be done is the blood of Jesus should be pleaded. This means to appeal or entreat earnestly over the ministers, the person receiving the deliverance. So what we do is we plead the blood of Jesus over the ministers and the person that deliverance and all others present. Now, tomorrow we're going to go through more of the particulars in a deliverance. We don't have time to finish it today, but we'll do so tomorrow. I hope and pray that you will listen in so we together could become the army of the Lord delivering people. That's what armies do. They deliver them from evil. And that's now, again, I would like you, if you have any questions regarding what you've heard from me to email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I am so grateful that we can do this work together. I am thankful for the power that we have been granted. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and we will talk more tomorrow.